Again, we thank our sister Rebecca for singing that great old gospel hymn. We trust the Lord will bless it to every heart. And if you're not saved tonight, even tonight in this gospel meeting, that you would yield to the call of God in the gospel, and that you would come and trust Him as your Savior. Thank her for sister for coming and singing. And trust the Lord would bless her and lead her on with Himself for His name's sake. Now, we're going to turn to that passage of Scripture we read a wee bit earlier, please, to Proverbs and to the chapter number 23. And with God's word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee for the hymn singing. We thank Thee for the messages and song. We pray that Thou would bless these messages, O God, to every heart and soul in the gathering. Lord, as we turn now to Thy word, Lord, our prayer is that Thou would open our eyes, the spiritual eyes of our understanding, to behold wondrous things out of Thy law tonight. And we pray for men and women, boys and girls and young people in our meeting tonight not saved. Oh, that they would hear that call of God and the gospel to come unto Christ and be saved. Lord, You have said that salvation is of the Lord. We pray this very night by Thy grace and power that some soul will come to Christ, that they'll commence this new year by trusting Christ and owning Him as their own and personal Savior. Bless this meeting to this end. Pour out Thy Spirit upon preacher and upon congregation alike. Cleanse me, Lord, afresh in the precious blood. Fill me afresh with the Holy Ghost. And give words, prevailing words, Lord, from Thyself. For we ask it all for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for this evening that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this first gospel meeting of 2014 is a little text just comprising of four very plain and simple words. And you find those four words in the middle of verse number 26 of Proverbs chapter 23. But it simply says, give me thine heart. Now, Proverbs chapter 23 has often been and rightly been referred to as the heart chapter. This is because it is a portion of God's word that has much to say to us about the human heart. In fact, the heart is mentioned no less than 9 times throughout this chapter. Now, though Solomon here is the penman, we must remember that he's writing under the inspiration of God, the Holy Ghost. Therefore, it is the Lord Himself who's speaking to us here about these all-important matters that concern the heart of man. If you look at verse 7 there of the chapter, you'll see how the Lord tells us that the thoughts of our heart will determine the outward action and the outward course of our life. For He says, therefore, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And how the heart of man determines how we live. Again, if you look at verse 12 of the chapter, you'll see there how the Lord tells us to apply our hearts to the instruction and to the knowledge and the counsel of God's holy word. He says there in verse 12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. And now the place where you and I can find that perfect instruction, that perfect knowledge, is in the word of God and God's precious truth. And then if you go down to verse number 17, you see there how we are told not to envy sinners in our hearts. And sometimes that can befall even the Christian. They can become envious even of the ungodly. Maybe even the seeming prosperity of the ungodly. That is how it was with the psalmist in Psalm 73. But here in this verse number 17, it says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And then if you go down to verse number 33 of the same chapter, there you see how we learn how the heart that is given to strong drink will utter perverse things before the Lord. It says there of such a heart, it says in verse 33, thine eyes shall behold a strange woman, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. And that is before the Lord. And how that's a warning to us all, to abstain from strong drink. I believe the Christian should not partake of strong alcoholic drink. There might be those today who will tell you it's okay for a Christian to drink or to take a drink of alcohol. Well, friends, you remember Noah. Noah walked with God in the Old Testament. He was a mighty man of God. He was used of God. Yet when he came out of the ark after the flood, the Bible tells us how he planted a vineyard. And he took of the drink of that vineyard, the drink of the wine. And it led him into sin. It ruined his testimony. And you never hear tell of Noah again. God set him aside. Let it be a warning to us all in this day and age in which we live to have nothing to do with strong drink or alcohol. And then in verse 26, the words of our text this evening, we have the Lord's request to us each one as sinners when he says in this little text, give me thine heart. And in the gospel, this is the Lord's request to every sinner so that they might experience God's so great salvation in their life, so that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Yes, the way for us all to know the Lord's saving power in our lives is by the giving of our heart to the Lord. Yes, this request here from the Lord to the sinner is a wonderful picture of how the Lord Jesus Christ would call each one of us to that place of experiencing God's so great salvation in our lives and of being saved from a lost eternity in hell and being made right and ready for heaven. And friends, tonight it is this request of the Lord to give our heart to him in the gospel that I want us to think upon this evening. If you're not saved in this meeting, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, I trust and pray you'll hear God calling you tonight, that you will respond to this call, that you will yield your heart to Christ, and you will trust him as your own and personal Savior. There are three things I want you to note regarding this request. Notice, first of all, the meaning of this request. The Lord says here, give me thine heart. Here, when he speaks these words, he's referring really, when he speaks about the heart, to the center of man's being. He's referring to the seat of his affections. He's speaking of that part of man that concerns the will of man, the understanding of man. Oh, this is what the Lord is asking to be surrendered up to him when he says in this little text, give me thine heart. Oh, and see a friend at our meeting tonight. Yes, the Lord is asking you for your heart to be yielded up to him. He's asking for your will, your entire affections to be yielded to him. Yes, he's asking for the very center of your being to be surrendered up to him. Yes, he is asking for your soul to be committed to him, to his saving power and to his saving grace and to his keeping power. Friend, on see if this is what the Lord means when he says to you in this gospel meeting tonight, give me thine heart. What a request. You know, as we think tonight of this request from the Lord for us to give our hearts to the Lord, it's important for us to remember what our hearts are like by nature before God. What is the heart of man like before God? Well, the Bible says in the book of Genesis chapter 6, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The heart of man by nature is evil continually in the sight of God. That's how it was in the day of Noah. And it is still the same in 2014. Indeed, the Bible says in the book of Jeremiah that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And dear friend, tonight this is how it is with your heart and with my heart by nature. As we come into this world and come into this scene of time, we have a sinful heart, a sinful nature. And because of that sinful state by nature, we are separated from fellowship with God because of our sin. Because of that sinful state in nature, you and I are under the sentence of our sin, that penalty of eternal judgment and hell itself for our sins when we come to die and leave this world in this scene of time. And because of that state of our heart by nature, a sinful heart, we are naturally inclined toward that which is evil. inclined toward that which is contrary to God and to His Word, and that which is evil and wicked in the sight of God. This is the heart of man. Now the Apostle Paul was a man saved by the grace of God. Yet he was one who recognized the sinfulness of his own heart. He could say, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am." That's how he saw himself. That's how he saw the condition, the state of his heart by nature before God. Now this was something also the hymn writer realized as well. For they could say, "Vile and sinful, though my heart may be." My, he knew he had an old sinful heart before a thrice holy God. And likewise, friend, this is something you must understand. Something you must realize before Almighty God, if ever you are to be saved. You must come to that place where before God you acknowledge your need as a sinner. You acknowledge that you have a lost, sinful heart, a lost, sinful nature before Almighty God. What a condition the heart of man is by nature before Almighty God. The Lord says, "Give me thine heart." That sinful heart, that depraved heart, that wicked heart, that heart that is contrary to God, that is wayward. That heart that is under the sentence of eternal death and judgment. The Lord says, "Give me thine heart." Oh, despite such a condition of the human heart, the thing for us to note tonight is that such is the grace of God. Such is the mercy of God on salvation. That He says to you and I in this gathering, He says, "Give me thine heart." My, no matter how far down in the mire of sin we may have gone, God comes to us in our unsaved state and He says, "Give me thine heart." You read through this chapter in its entirety. Mention is made of such sins as immorality, as drunkenness, as greed for riches and covetousness. And my friend, the truth of the gospel tonight is this, is no matter how far you've gone from God, no matter how wayward or rebellious your heart might be in your unsaved condition, the Lord comes to you tonight through this little verse. And He says, "Give me thine heart." In other words, He says, "Give your heart over to me for the cleansing away of your sin." In other words, He says, "Give your soul over to me for its saving and for its keeping." No matter who you are, no matter what your sin is or has been, He says, "Give me thine heart." My, Paul was the chief of sinners. Yet on the road to Damascus, under conviction of his own sin and sinfulness, he gave his heart to Christ for the saving of his soul. And my, just as Paul surrendered up his heart to Christ, so the Lord tonight through this little text is calling you to do the same in order that you might be saved. He says, "Give me thine heart." Tell me, will you yield to this call tonight? Yes, the Lord says, "Give me thine heart," no matter who you are, no matter what your sin is, no matter what condition you're in tonight spiritually before God. He says to you, "Friend, I'm saved." He says, "Give me thine heart." Notice also here how the Lord here is requesting the sinner not only to give his heart, but to give his heart freely. For He simply says in this little text, He says, "Give me thine heart." And coming to the Lord for salvation, you're to come freely, just as you are. You're to give your heart freely without any preconditions. Christ plainly says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come just as you are. Give your heart to Him just as it is. Don't try and bargain with the Lord. Now you're to give your heart to Him for salvation. You're to give it freely. But it also must be said here that in coming to Christ for salvation, you must give Him all your heart. You know, it's either all or nothing when it comes to salvation. The Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart." Whenever the jailer wanted to be saved, Paul and Silas spoke to him and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." They emphasized the fact that the Christ was to be Lord of his life and salvation. You know, there are many tonight in society, and they have this idea that salvation is just a ticket. A ticket that saves me from hell. And a ticket that takes me into heaven. As long as I have that ticket, I can live as I please. I can do as I want in this scene of time. That's the thinking of many today. Friends, that is not the salvation of the Bible. That is not the salvation of God. If you are to be saved, the Bible says you must repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. Acknowledge your need as a sinner before God. And turn to Christ for salvation from your sins. The Bible says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." You think of that great announcement that the angel made to Joseph about the coming of Christ. He said, "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." He came to save us from our sins, from the power and the bondage of sin. You turn in your Bible, please, over to Isaiah chapter 55. And this is one of the greatest gospel chapters in all of the Bible. And look with me at verse number 6 of the chapter. And here the Lord is speaking to the unsaved. Man, woman, young person, here's the Lord calling you to seek him for salvation. In verse 6 he says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is." You know, what a call from the Lord himself for you to seek him, for you to call upon him for salvation. But I want you to note in the next verse, along with that call to trust Christ as Savior, there's the call to repentance, for you to turn from your sins, to acknowledge your sins before God, and to turn to Christ to save you from your sins. He says there in verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. My friend, this is what it means to give all your heart to Christ in salvation. It means repentance, a turning from sin, an acknowledgement of your need as a lost sinner before God, and a turning to Christ, a trusting of Christ. Christ alone on the cross of Calvary who died for our sins, trusting in him to save you from your sins. Yes, we see the meaning of this call when the Lord says, "Give me thine heart." But secondly, tonight I want you to note the reasons for this request. Why does the Lord come with this request, "Give me thine heart"? Well, we want to say tonight that the Lord requests the sinner to give him his heart because of his relationship to the sinner. Who is the Lord? The Lord is the creator of all things. He is the creator of this world. He created man from the dust of the ground, and we are but the creatures of God. He is our creator. In Hebrews chapter 1, you read there of God and of Christ, and this is what it says in verses 1 and 2. It says, "God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." The Lord himself spoke this word into existence in 6 days. And godly man tells us this world evolved by a big bang or a big explosion, that man evolved from a monkey or from an ape. That's a lie of the devil. That's not what the Word of God says. Friend, the Word of God says that you and I are the specific creation of God. God himself, the Lord of glory, is our creator. Therefore, as the sovereign creator, he says to us as subjects, he says, "Give me thine heart." Oh, sinner, because the Lord has created you, you have a responsibility to give him your heart.
It is only He who created you that can save you. He calls us to give us, for us to give our hearts to Him, because He is our Creator. You know, we ought also to say tonight that the Lord requests the sinner to give Him his heart because of His love toward the sinner. And how deep and how vast and how great is that love? You'll notice here in our text that this little request, "Give me thine heart," is preceded by two little words, "My son." And those two words are really a term of endearment. And in the gospel, they remind us of God's love toward the sinner. What does the Bible say of God? And the epistle of John, speaking of God, John says this. He says, God is love. And our God is a God of love. And He manifested that love and the giving of His Son, the coming of His Son into this world and giving His Son up to die upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. By speaking of Christ Himself, the Apostle Paul said this, the Son of God who loved me the chief of sinners, and gave Himself for me. And because of that love, what did Christ do? He went all the way, willingly, to the cross of Calvary. And there on that cross, He suffered. He bled and He died and He shed His precious blood. What for? To open up and to provide a way for you and I to be saved from our sins. To satisfy the justice of God. And friend, it's because of that same love that God tonight speaks to your heart and says to you, the sinner, through this little text, my son, give me thine heart. The Lord says, give me thine heart. In love, I provided a way for you to be saved. In love, I've shed my precious blood that your sins might be pardoned and blotted out, that your soul may be cleansed. Friend, what are you going to do with the love of God in Christ tonight? The Bible says, God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How deep is the Father's love, says the hymn writer. How great, how vast, a boundless treasure. Oh, God calls you tonight because He is your Creator. But God calls you tonight because of His love. And that love is beyond all human description. God is love. You know, there's another reason tonight as well. The Lord requests the sinner to give Him his heart. Why? Because the Lord wants to do sinners good. God blesses those whom He saves. Listen to the testimony of the psalmist in Psalm 34. He said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. God blesses those whom He saves, whoever they are. Wherever they are to be found, God bless us. Friend, whenever you give your heart to the Lord for salvation, what will the Lord do for you? He will forgive all your sins. Through the blood of Christ shed at Calvary's cross, all your sins will be blotted out. That's something you and I can't do ourselves. It's something the waters of baptism can never do. It is something the rites or the ceremonies of the church can never do. But praise God, the Word of God says tonight, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What's the Lord's promise to that soul that gives their heart to the Lord in salvation? He says, I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own name's sake. Do you long to have your sins forgiven tonight? Praise God, there's a fountain that will wash away and deal with all your sins. The fountain of the Savior's shed blood, shed at Calvary. But also when you give your heart to the Lord for salvation, the Lord by His Holy Spirit will enable you to live for God's glory. The Lord speaks of this in the book of Ezekiel. He says, I will put my Spirit within you. and cause ye to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. When you trust Christ, the Lord will give you grace and power and strength to live for him and to live for his honor and glory day by day. Also, when you give your heart to the Lord in salvation, the Lord will establish your heart steadfast in him and in his word, so that you may be able to stand for the Lord even in the trials and the adversities of life. Speaking of those who have given their heart to the Lord in salvation, the psalmist says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. This is why the hymn writer could say with assurance, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. I'm sure you've maybe seen a storm at sea and the little ship or the boat in the harbour with its anchor cast. No matter how rough the sea may be, the little boat is safe and secure with its anchor cast. And my, when you have Christ as your Saviour, you have an anchor for the soul that will keep you in all the storms and all the trials and all the battles of life. And praise God, when you give your heart to the Lord in salvation, he will meet your every need. He will satisfy and enrich your soul with his grace. Indeed, it was because of this that the psalmist David could say of the Lord, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. My, when you give your heart to Christ, the Bible says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency may abound unto every good work. You say, why does the Lord call me tonight? Friend, he calls you because he is your Creator. He calls you to salvation because he loves you. You may have been loved by a father or mother, by a husband, by a wife, by a child, by a friend. But no matter how great any human love may be, it is nothing in comparison to the love of Christ towards sinners. Oh, he calls you because he loves you. He calls you tonight because he wants to bless you. Bless you for time and for all of eternity. Yes, we see the meaning of this request. We see the reason for this request. But one final thought tonight, I want you to see the response to this request. If you look at this little text, you'll see here that an immediate response is requested. For when the Lord says, give me thine heart, he's speaking here in the present tense. He does not say, withhold your heart for a little time. He does not say, withhold your heart for a month or for a year or for a decade or till you're older or later on in life. No. He does not say, wait until tomorrow, wait until you're older or wait until you've seen the world. No. My says to you tonight, my friend, whoever you are unsaved, wherever you are on the road of life this very night, he says, give me thine heart now tonight. In this first Sabbath evening of 2014, the word of the Lord is this to you, my friend, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. He says, today come to me. He says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, come now. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, don't go on a moment longer, wasting your life in sin and wasting your life in the evil and godly ways of the devil in this world. Don't go on a moment longer. Give your heart now to Christ and be saved. You remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He had money, he had riches. But Christ passed by through Jericho, and Christ spoke to him, and he said, Zacchaeus, make haste, for today I must abide at thy house. What did Zacchaeus do? The Bible says this. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He was swift to Christ. He heeded the call. He didn't waste. He didn't delay. Friend, this night may you also make haste to Christ. Yield up your heart to Him for salvation, for the cleansing away of your sin. The Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Lord may call you tonight and you'll say, yes, I'll get saved next week. Have you any guarantee that you'll be sitting in this pew, in this church, this day next week? No, you have not. The only moment you are guaranteed is now, this very moment, this very second of time. Might is a call for you to yield your heart now to Christ. But let me say this also, in giving your heart to Christ, you'll be making a wise response. It's the wisest thing you could ever do. There may be many things in life you've said, I've done, and they've been wise. And we would commend you for that. But I tell you, the wisest thing you could ever do in your life is to give your heart to Christ for salvation. To come to Christ and to trust Him as your Savior. There is great blessing for you for time and for eternity, for all, yes, who yield their heart to Christ. This is what the Lord says of such. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. That speaks of a fellowship with Christ. When you give your heart to Christ for salvation, the Lord will be with you in life. He will be with you in death. And my, you will be with Christ for all of eternity in God's heaven, the place of everlasting life, the place of everlasting glory. The Bible says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. That perfect day is heaven. That perfect day is glory. It's a present response. It's a wise response. But let me also add tonight, I must warn you that if you withhold your heart from Christ, you're making a wrong response. You're making a tragic mistake. You're going down the road of folly, the road of ruin. If you live only for your sin, if you do not repent of your sin and go on in life without Christ as your Savior, then when you die, you will die without Christ. And your soul will be separated from God for all of God's eternity. And that awful place which the Bible calls hell, the lake of fire, that will be your eternal, everlasting portion. You turn back there to Proverbs chapter number 4. Turn back a little from our text tonight. Look with me at verse number 19. This is what happens to those who reject Christ. It says there in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Friend, you reject Christ, you go on in the darkness of your sin. That's the way you're heading. Your life will be filled with the darkness of sin. And when you come to die without Christ as your Savior, your soul will be lost forever in that place which the Bible describes as the place of outer darkness, which the Bible calls the blackness of darkness forever. Yes, you will spend all of eternity in the lake of fire, in the darkness of hell itself, with the devil and all his angels, and all those who have turned their back upon the Lord. And all those who have rejected Him as their Savior. God is calling for your response tonight. It's decision time. What is your response going to be tonight? Will you say no to Christ? Will you turn your back upon Him? Will you turn a deaf ear to Him? I pray not. I pray this night you will yield to Christ when He says, give me thine heart. The Bible says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. This night, choose Christ. Choose Him as your Savior. Trust Him as your Savior. Give your heart now to Him. Trust His blood to cleanse you from all sin. My trust in Him alone to save your soul for time and for eternity. He says, give me thine heart. My friend, He gave His heart for sinners like you and I in the cruel cross of Calvary. You read of Christ upon the cross, and the Bible says one of the soldiers with a spear pierced His side. And forthwith there came out blood and water. His heart was pierced. There on the cross He shed His blood. He gave His heart His heart's blood, what for? For man's redemption. So that you and I could be saved from our sin. Oh, as you think of that love tonight, as you think of Christ dying upon the cross for our salvation, may you respond tonight to this call of God by saying, Lord, here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Here's my heart, Lord, take and cleanse it. Here's my heart, take and renew it by your power and by your grace. Lord, here's my soul, take it and save me for time and for eternity. Oh, as the Lord would speak, as the Lord would call you tonight, as He would say through this little text, give me thine heart. May you say yes to Christ. May you yield to Him tonight. May you trust Him. May you come just as you are in simple childlike faith. Say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, save me. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for me. My, if you offer that prayer in your soul and you really mean it, the Lord will save you. The Lord will take you in. Make you a child of God. He'll fit you for heaven. He'll bring you into His family, into His fold, into His kingdom. He says, give me thine heart. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, what are you going to do tonight? May you yield to Christ and trust Him as your own and personal Savior.